What's good, Waging World? It's your boy, Five Star in Vegas, broadcasting live as always from beautiful Summerlin, Nevada, but my heart is in Houston, Texas. This is the Waging World. I'm in here with my co-host, been with me since day one, the only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. What's good, Spreadster? How are you this morning?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm excited to talk about this weekend. I think it's a tough weekend to handicap, so I can't wait to hear some of your thoughts.
Yeah, it's going to be a real tough one. RIP to your Oakland Athletics. They're actually coming to your backyard, man. What do you think about the A's final game? A lot of the fans didn't want to leave. Kind of a sad scene over at the Oakland Coliseum. It's the Oakland Coliseum still, right?
Yeah, at the Oakland Coliseum. And it's just a failure on the part. Okay, the A's have the worst ownership group out of all of them. Mm-hmm. But it's not – there's a reason that all three teams have left that major metropolitan area in the last 10 years. The great Golden State Warriors, of course, the Oakland Raiders, gave up their home field advantage to go be in Vegas. And I don't want to get too political on here, but there's a serious disconnect between the Oakland politicians and what I would consider to be the areas that are at risk there. And I think a lot of them are educated and elite, and they don't understand the role that sports can play in young men's lives. And we've seen as they've kind of devalued sports, and I'm not against arts at all, but I think there should be a balance there. They're too heavy in on the art side and not enough on the sports side, and I think the whole community is suffering. So I'm not surprised. I don't blame the other two franchises. The A's have a terrible ownership, though, and it's really disappointing they couldn't make that work.
Yeah, it's great that you said the politics because, on here we take Republicans, Democrats, Independents on the Waging World. We don't care about your political affiliation or who you're voting for or anything like that. But if we're going to get our feelings out of this and, all the emotions to the side, let's be real about it. It's some pretty bad politics that we've seen in that area of the world from San Francisco and Oakland. As you said, they don't care too much about sports, man. They don't care about a lot of different things that kind of what made us as kids in America happy. They're kind of moving away from a lot of things in that area. We're not going to even talk about how they are with the police, their way of policing and stuff, how people are just pretty much committing crimes. You can steal up to $950 in someone's store and not go to jail. It's just ridiculous in that area of the world. But really feel bad for, the A's fans. There's some lifers over there. There's guys like MC Hammer, who's been, a fan of them since a boy. He's the owner, kind of helped Hammer get situated. He was a bat boy over there and everything. Then you have Ricky Henderson, who's from the Oakland area. He's been with the team since the inception, one of the faces. So many great players that have played for that franchise. A lot of people don't know that Reggie Jackson got his start with the Oakland A's. That's where young Reggie Jackson was at. Why Steinbrenner was willing to break the bank and bring him to New York. Just a real strong history. Raleigh Fingers. We can go on for days. Vida Blue. Dave Stewart. You can just keep naming great Oakland players. How can I forget the Bash Brothers, who really changed the way that baseball is played? They kind of introduced in Oakland the homer, home run or strikeout style of baseball. And you got Billy Beane, who kind of started, small ball. So it's all types of great things that came out of that team. They're coming to Las Vegas. I'm sure that you'll be flying out here and we'll be going to some of the games together. Brand new stadium. I guess it's still going on. I haven't heard anything different. They're building a parking lot right there on the corner of 15 and Tropicana. So I don't look forward to that part because it's about to be a mess on the strip as Vegas starts to become overpopulated, kind of like Houston is, and why I moved from Houston here. But just really a sad thing with the A's. Have you heard anything about how long they're going to be in Sacramento?
Right now it's 3 years, but I've also heard there's issues with that Vegas plan too. So who even knows what's going on? And as much as we want to, the leadership in Oakland is bad, but the A's are one of the worst run franchises. And even the way that he's handled this move shows Major League Baseball would be much better if they could get this guy to sell the team.
Yeah, that's what it is. As you said, though, See, the only thing they're holding on to the Warriors, and they even moved them from Oakland over to San Francisco. But just sad situation with the A's. One of the funny things out of the story, they were talking to Ricky Henderson. Did you see the quote that Ricky Henderson had?
Where he said, "I don't care, I got money."
He didn't say it like that. He said it much funnier than that. They were like, "Why are you sad about the A's leaving?" He was like, "I can't be sad. I have too much money." So, the all-time stolen base leader continues to be one of the kings of one-liners, man. He's always been a great quote. So, RIP to the Oakland A's. They don't exist anymore. Are they going to be the Sacramento A's? Or are they going to change the
name? I don't know what they're doing there.
It's a new, different world for us all. Now, let's jump into the past, Brett.
All right, last night we saw both of our plays came in home as the New York Giants were able to cover against the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know. It was an all right game. Yeah. I caught most of it. I missed the very beginning, but I caught the last three quarters. We see why Daniel Jones is kind of where he's at. You know, just can't really trust him to get it done. Malik Nabers was the best player on the field once again. And you got to really worry about the Cowboys if Micah Parsons goes out, because that defense already, I talked about it, with the signing of Dak, they've already lost some depth, and they were pretty Parsons dependent. Yeah. Now, without him, I don't really know if they can compete. So we'll see how long he's out for. The Cowboys get it done, but I wasn't necessarily impressed. Once again, they didn't have problems running the ball, and I just don't see how this team can do anything but make a wild card game. I mean, I don't even know who they could beat in the playoffs right now. Seems like this team is kind of penciled in for mediocrity, and I think it's because they overpaid Dak Prescott. What do you think?
Overpaid Dak Prescott, Mike Zimmer, the game might have passed him by. You know, kind of like what we were saying, we were worried about Vic Fangio. Fangio with a better showing last week in New Orleans, but I still don't like that Cowboys defense. I just don't think that the Giants had the right quarterback to take advantage of. But Brian Daboll was a little suspect too last night. Some of his play calling, I was not feeling it. I always considered Daboll as one of the premier play callers in the league, but not so much last night. A lot of weird calls by him. Dallas survives. We get on the side of the 1% that beats the 99%. You know, I always talk about that, about this is the only business in the world where 1% beats 99% regularly. And we saw that last night as Brandon Aubrey, on the way to maybe being the greatest kicker of all time in the NFL, misses for us. So after not missing any 50-yard field goals his whole career, he misses right on that perfect five where we needed him. And we hit a perfect landing and win the 5.5. It's all of the reasons why people say that the NFL is really suspect, that people are talking about changing the shield into the WWE sign.
Yeah, but it was nice to be on the right side once again. And I felt the under was the even easier play. I wasn't really nervous about that at all. Most of the game, and I felt the handicap was correct because the Giants can put the ball in the end zone, and the Giants did attempt to run the ball, but the Cowboys rush defense was a little better as Devin Singletary really had a quiet night, but that continued to run down the clock and made the under even better. Any more thoughts on last night's game before we move into the present?
Just that I think that Brandon Aubrey is a company man, and he'll be a superstar real soon. That's all I'm going to say about that. let's go to the present, man. We got a lot of games. I tried to just focus mostly on all of the top 25 matchups. We threw one extra game in there, and that's Colorado at UCF. Want to kick it off with that one, Spread?
Let's start it off. Colorado heading down to Florida. How's that going to be affected with the weather down there, and how are you looking at that game?
That is big.
That'll be something to keep an eye on, because I see those hurricanes are rolling in this morning.
Miami, that might be affected tonight too. I'm glad we got the 19.5 on that game because it's flew down. We got the perfect sweet movement going with that one. Spread is.
Do you think that's because of the weather?
All the money's coming in on Miami, but the line's running toward us with Vitek. We thought that it might shoot up to 20. This went down to 17 and a half. I'm glad I took that 19 and a half.
But I think it's because the total's going down because of the weather.
Yeah, it's going to be sloppy. So the things that Miami's used to being able to do, that might have some difficulty doing it. You know, they're kind of a spread team that likes to throw it around. Oh, yeah, it's going to be really rainy, bad day out in Orlando. So Colorado will definitely be dealing with some weather. Great point by you on that one. The main reason I want to touch this game is because the comments by Prime, Coach Prime, said most of the people attending the UCF game were going to be recruits from the Florida area coming to see Colorado because they're interested in playing for him. You know, that's his stomping ground. That's what he kind of, you know, puts his flag at, is in the Florida recruiting area. So that was interesting to me that that Coach Prime said that, that when they pull up to Central Florida, that's what it's going to be. But it's a big line, but man, this weather is going to be something else, man, to deal with. I don't know. It's going to be a difficult handicap on this game, man, because we got two teams who both like to throw the ball. UCF does. Back in the game, they used to run it, but now they got KJ Jefferson, the quarterback. He's not a big-time thrower. You know, I feel like if Colorado can slow down R.J. Harvey, who's the really good running back for UCF, and Colorado has been good against the run this year, then I think that 14 points, two touchdowns is just too much in this game. Not an official play for me yet, but I just think plus 14 is a lot of points to give a quarterback as talented as Shedeur Sanders.
All right, we got two ranked teams facing off when number 23 Oklahoma State travels to take on number 20 Kansas State. Right now, this line is K-State minus 5. What do you think of this line?
The line is telling me that this is probably an Oklahoma State play right here. Kansas State is a good team, kind of one-dimensional, more of a running team than anything. As we saw last week, they were dominated by BYU. Good bounce back spot, if you believe in Kansas State right here. But I've just got problems with Avery Johnson, man. He's 15 or 28 last week, two interceptions. He just cannot be trusted in the pass game, honestly. So with that said, I have to lean Oklahoma State in this. As much as it troubles me to bet on Alan Bowman, the 25-year-old, six-year senior quarterback, that Mike Gundy's trotting out there. I just got to believe that Oklahoma State can keep it close with their defense. I think that their defense will be able to contain Kansas State somewhat. Now, I'm not laying 5 points right now with Kansas State with their ineffectiveness in the passing game. I mean, they're not going to just be able to run all over Oklahoma State. Also, Gundy has a pretty good record against Kansas State. He's 4-1 in the last 5 matchups. So on this one, give me Oklahoma State plus 5.
All right. The Fighting Irish, who you were so happy with last week covering the spread, go ahead. And now they're laying 7. Louisville's number 15. Notre Dame's number 16. But Notre Dame laying a lot of points here. What do you think of this one?
I'm not laying any points with Leonard Riley. I don't like the quarterback for Notre Dame. I don't think that he's that good of a player. I think that he's an athletic quarterback, but in the passing game, man, he really, really struggles. He has difficulty completing passes. You know, I'm not a big Marcus Freeman guy either. But I do like Louisville a lot. I like their coach a lot. He played quarterback at the school, went to Purdue and got Purdue turned around, and then came back to Louisville. And they quietly keep a really good team over there at Louisville every season. My homeboy, Rodney Hudson, shout out to him. His son played for them last year and did really good. Year before last, pardon me, for Louisville, and he did pretty good over there before moving on. I think he's still on the Rams practice squad. That's where he went. But Louisville, man, is just one of these teams that's flying under the radar. They're 3-0. Like I said, Jeff Brohm is going to always bring toughness. He's going to bring good play calling as the coach over there. It's no way I'm laying 7 points for Notre Dame at this point. So I'll be able to Louisville plus 7 on this one. I think that they can stir it up. I think that they can physically keep up with Notre Dame in the trenches. And that's going to be very important because, as I said, I don't see anything great about Riley to make me believe that he'll be able to put this team on the shoulders and lay points like that. So give me Louisville, man. We're going to roll with the Cardinal. I just trust Jeff Brohm a little bit more than Marcus Freeman. Very impressive showing against a good Georgia Tech team last week by Louisville. They have a really good quarterback, Tyler Shaw, that came over from first. He was at Oregon. It was pretty good. Then he went to Texas Tech, and then he dealt with some injuries. But now he's settled over there at Louisville, and Jeff Brohm knows how to coach quarterback. So give me Louisville plus 7 in that one.
They're catching 19.5 against Penn State. What's going on there?
You know, we like to read these numbers, and we always say on the Wagering World that the main thing that we're always trying to do is put ourselves in the shoes of the trader. Why is the trader laying this number out here? To me, it seems like he's begging people to please take Illinois. Illinois had a good national showing last week by beating Nebraska. Yeah, they upset Nebraska as dogs. They're undefeated. They have a good coach in Brett Bielema. So obviously thinking says, man, I'm taking Illinois. That's 3 touchdowns. That's a lot. But then now I start thinking about, okay, why did the book put out this many points in this situation? Like, what sense does that make, especially with Penn State struggling a couple weeks ago against Bowling Green? I don't know, man. I don't like numbers like this. I learned a long time ago through betting sports for so many years that when a number looks funny, it's usually money. The last, 5 times that these teams matched up, Penn State won by 17. They were upset by Illinois in Penn State the last time Illinois traveled there. But past that's been just blowouts, 56-21, 63-24, 39-0. Penn State has a really strong defense. They were upset about their performance against Bowling Green, and last week they were able to shut out their opponent, won 56-0 against Kent State, laying 49. I think Illinois comes back down to earth from this week. You know, they have a quarterback who's been playing pretty good, and Luke Ottmeyer, who was 4 touchdowns, no interceptions last week in Lincoln. I think that he comes back more to the norm. He's not that special of a guy. Really good play calling last week, though, by Brett Bielema. But I'm laying the points. If I play this game, it's not an official play, but if I played it, I definitely lay the points with Penn State. Anytime those numbers are funny like that, as I said, they use the money.
All right, let's go to the main event of the college slate this weekend. This might be the best game of the year. Georgia taking on Alabama. Everyone's going to want a little action on this one, 5-star. So how would you play this one?
Well, I'm an Alabama guy at home, especially. They've been really successful over the years against Georgia. I don't know why it's this myth that, and sometimes, and I even got caught up in it. You know, I thought that Kirby Smart was pretty good against Alabama. Then I dug into the numbers, and he hasn't been good at all against Alabama. Nick Saban owned him, you know, for many years. And head to head in the last 10 matchups, they're 8-2 against Georgia. Georgia hasn't beaten Alabama but one time, man. In the last 9 times that they faced each other, Alabama has that going for them for sure. They have to be really confident. This is the game where Caleb DeBoer gets an opportunity to kind of state his claim, make his name for himself forever. This Alabama school has been attached to Nick Saban and his greatness. This is a chance for Caleb DeBoer to say, we're not going to fall off at all. We're going to keep this ball rolling. I'm going to do the same things that the master did. And I think that he can. Caleb DeBoer is a great coach. You've been on here with me for 3 years, Spritz. You know that he's one of my favorite coaches in college football. I know that Kirby Smart is a sharp guy. They both had weeks off in between as both these teams are coming off by, so they had 2 weeks to prepare for this. I know Kirby Smart as hell off a bye. He's really good at drawing up some defenses. But I think that good offense nowadays always beats great defense. So with that said, I think that Georgia will struggle with Alabama's defense and being able to put up enough points. Whereas, and I think that Alabama can put up some points on that Georgia defense. We see if we get a bounce back game right here from Carson Beck, because he was horrible against Kentucky, man. He lost a lot of favor with a lot of people in that game, 15-24, 160 yards. They were kind of exposed. Dominique Lovett transferred over from Missouri, and they thought that he was going to be a one, but he hasn't been that effective this season. I like Alabama at home, man. I'll probably be playing this game. I'll definitely tweet out the official play the closer it gets to kickoff, because, as you said, everyone's going to be on this game, so it's going to be a lot of money in the market changing and moving around. But right now, just off football, I got to like Alabama in this one. I think they can get it done.
All right, five-star liking the Crimson Tide. You ready to move to Sunday?
Yes, sir.
Bengals at Panthers. 0-3. They're taking on the Panthers, who were thought to be the worst team in the league until they switched quarterbacks and Andy Dalton make them look like a competent professional franchise. We've seen this before, though, five-star, where a backup will come in, play great for 1 week, and then regress. However, like in the case of Green Bay, Malik Willis was able to get it done 2 weeks in a row, so it's not a sure thing. You talked about it before. Danny Dalton is a true professional. It's easier for him to run this pro-style offense than it was Bryce Young. The Bengals are definitely suffering from injuries, and I think one of the key parts of there is just the lack of play on the defensive line. Even Washington, who I rate with a subpar O-line, was able to run the ball against Cincinnati, and that was the key to their success last weekend. I know that Jaden Daniels played great, but we have to give the coaching staff credit for establishing the run and really keeping that defense on their heels, which allowed Jaden to drop back and take those shots. Dalton could be able to take advantage of that as well. Deontay Johnson out or questionable. That would be a huge loss for them, because we saw how important he was in that win against Las Vegas last week. How do we approach this game? Do you think the Panthers continue their streak of good play, or was that a one-week wonder Cinderella story?
Probably a one-week Cinderella story. Also, I think Thielen's out as well, right?
Thielen's out for sure.
Yeah, he's out for sure. Yeah. So who was Dalton going to throw the ball to? We've seen this a million times before. You had this one-week flash-in-the-pan situation. The team's all wired up because the new starters out there and they play better. They want to get off the snide and, you know, win a game. So we got a really good performance from Carolina. We also got a lackluster effort from the Raiders last week. The Raiders didn't come focused. They were coming off beating Baltimore on an upset and having a good time in Vegas, which is very easy to do. So I don't take too much into that. This is one of those games that the public is going to be all over Cincinnati, and I can't say that they're wrong for it on this one. Cincinnati needs to win really bad in this game. Their defense has to step up. You know I'm a Lou Anarumo guy, but I know he's dealing with some injuries, but what they showed last week against Washington was just unacceptable. You can't get a rookie quarterback, even though Jaden Daniels is one of my favorites, and I think he's going to be an outstanding quarterback and have an outstanding career. You have to get him off the field in crunch time in the fourth quarter, and they just couldn't. You know, Washington was able to do whatever they want. Andy Dalton does not bring the dual threat problems that Jaden does. He's going to be a sitting duck for that Bengals defense. I think we see a better effort from them. Jay Money had a good point on his show yesterday when I did it with him. He said that he liked the Bengals to go team total over first half before the game. That's a good way to approach it as well, because we know if they win, they're going to have to throw the ball. My play on this one would probably be Ja'Marr Chase to score a touchdown. That's the play I'd probably make on this game, simply because they're blowing a lot of smoke up J.C. Horn, Joe Horn's son, former Saint great. His son is really good. They're saying that he locked down Devontae Adams last week. I don't know if that was him locking him down or Gardner Minshew being who Gardner Minshew really is. But I think Ja'Marr Chase gets in the end zone. And I'd also lean toward whatever the team total for Cincinnati that they go over that as well.
Yeah, it's just tough for me to lay 4.5 with a team that can't stop the run.
And, exactly.
I think if you don't want to get involved, I would watch this game and I would just watch the first drive and just watch who's winning at the line of scrimmage when the Panthers have the ball. Because if they're able to run the ball like they did last week, and they did put some money into the offensive line in the offseason, and we finally saw that bear fruit this weekend. So if Cincinnati can't stop the run, as good as Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are, I think this team's in trouble. So I'll probably wait to get involved with this one, and let's just see how that line of scrimmage looks. The Eagles are taking on the Buccaneers. They travel to Tampa Bay. Buccaneers coming off a very disappointing performance where they were unable to stop rookie quarterback Bo Nix. They're struggling with injuries as well on their defensive line. The Eagles, I thought that they were going to have problems on the defense, but they look good against the Saints. Now they're going to try and take on another NFC South opponent in Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield. Do you think Mayfield will have more success against the Eagles defense than Derek Carr did?
I love this spot right here. This is an official play for me. I actually gave it out to the clients, and I gave it on ESPN 97.5. We're going with Tampa Bay +2 on this one. Perfect spot for the Bucs to bounce back. As we said, Baker was being a company man last week. He was, you know, making sure that the money was right, because that performance against the Broncos, he looked nothing like himself. And at this point in Baker's career, he can't afford to have two back-to-back games like that. It's just, I know he's already like tiptoeing the line. I know that they gave him a new deal, but just as fast as they sign him, they'll turn on you in the NFL. Everyone knows that everything with these athletes is about their tape. So I'm going to be riding the fact that last week the Bucs got upset by a team that they should have beat. They were 7.5-point favorites. I'm also riding the fact that Jalen Hurts is 1-3 against Ty Bowles' defenses since he's been in the NFL. He really struggles against them. And I think that he's going to really, really struggle now that he doesn't have A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith. Both of them are out. I don't think Dotson is going to be able to do anything against that defense for Tampa Bay. I think that, Tampa Bay has some really good cornerbacks. So I think that we see a shell of the Eagles' defense. We know that Ty Bowles – of the Eagles' offense, excuse me. We know that Ty Bowles is going to focus on – one man and one man on, and that's Saquon Barkley. Barkley leads the NFL in rushing. He's also tied for the most touchdowns from scrimmage with 5. So he's a real playmaker. He's a problem. Slow him down. Make Jalen Hurts work from the pocket like Tampa Bay has done in the past. They'll be okay, because on offense, I think they're going to have their way. I think Mike Evans has a huge game, and I think that Godwin has a good game as well. Strictly for the fact that even though they didn't look good, they looked pretty good last week in New Orleans, the Eagles' defensive backs aren't good coverage backs, except for Slay. And Slay might be out. He might not even be playing this game. So I don't think they're able to slow down the offense. I think we see a completely different Bucs team this week. Give me Tampa Bay +2. That's an official play.
All right. And you'll be happy to see Vita Vea back in the lineup for the Buccaneers. That should help stop down that rushing attack. And if the Eagles can't establish a run, they could be in for a long day.
They got Lane Johnson out, man. You know, if Lane Johnson's out for Philadelphia, he's kind of like T.J. Watt with the Steelers. If Lane Johnson doesn't play, the Eagles have a horrible record.
Yeah, and we know how important offensive line play is, and I've talked about it before, but the lack of OTA time, and then they should just carry more people. Because you have to bring these guys off the street. Imagine if they were on the practice squad and they were working with the playbook and they understood what was going on. It would be a lot easier to integrate them. NFL owners being a little cheap there, man. You guys will start carrying 60, 70 guys. Make billions a year. Guys will make 100K. Like, come on, guys. The Los Angeles Rams are traveling to take on the Chicago Bears. The Sharps absolutely love the Bears as they poured in with the early money. 5-star, this opened at -1. Now it's moved out to -3. The reason that people are doing that is because of the Bears' defensive efficiency. The Bears' defense has played really well this year. Of course, we know the Rams are beat up. However, I would say that the Rams do have the ability to overcome those injuries. I know that fantasy football people are going to pull their hair out when you see that Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua aren't on the field. However, Tutu Atwell played really well last year when Cooper Kupp was out. The only reason he lost his job is because he can't pass block, but he can still get open and pick up big gains on the field. I think DeMarcus Robinson is a nice all-around player, and Jordan Whitten is a slot. I think they can still get it done. The question will be on that Rams defense. Of course, we know that they're beat up as well. Caleb Williams, of course, is adjusting to life in the NFL, had his best performance as a pro last week. We'll see if that continues here. But I like the Rams catching 3 points. It's a better coach, better quarterback, simple handicap.
Yeah, I like that point of view, too. Plus, you're facing a rookie quarterback, and then you're facing a team where you got a coach who's kind of messing things up over there. Matt Eberflus He's a defensive coordinator, but not trying to call the offensive plays. I've saw now that he's on the sidelines with a play sheet and, you know, talking to Caleb Williams in between plays. So I don't know what's going on. I may be saying, like, I have to do something because this is my job, so I have to fight for it and take more control. But Caleb Williams is still a rookie, man, end of the day. And he's facing Matt Stafford. Sean McVay has to have some confidence after he sunned little Shanny last week. You saw he rubbed his head, treated him like he was 5 years old. So he sunned Shanahan last week. He's got to be feeling good. Stafford and him, they just need pieces. As long as the receivers hold the ball, he's going to get them open. Kyron Williams is becoming a better back. This is a good spot for Chicago, but it's one of those spots where my handicap can't say take Chicago because I can't see their offense being effective. We see DeAndre Swift doesn't give a damn. We see that the receiver that's over there, their number one guy, he doesn't even really want to play with Caleb Williams. He doesn't like him. You know, and then I heard that Allen might play. Keenan Allen might be back. He's not the Keenan Allen we knew back in Los Angeles and San Diego. He's lost a step. He's older now. He just did this as a money grab. This was a chance to go get some free money, and he went and got it. I worry about the Bears' offense. I just don't trust Caleb Williams. As I told you, he has no pocket discipline. He's always running around because that's what he's done his whole life. And that's going to play right into the hands of a smart coach like Sean McVay who will have his team ready to play. So unless the Bears get all these turnovers on defense or some special teams plays, I just can't see a route to victory. I know that a lot of sharps like them and the Colts this week, but you know, me personally, it's a stay away from me, but I lean the Rams even though I'm not playing the game. I just can't trust a rookie quarterback that's like Caleb Williams is, that's been pampered, hasn't went through any adversity, and it doesn't seem like the team's responding to him.
All right, I'm on the Rams there, so we'll see how that one turns out. People we gave praise to are facing off. You know, if you watch the show on Wednesday, we were really high on Brian Flores and what he's done with that defense, and we really have complimentary things to say about Malik Willis and his ability to develop under Matt LaFleur. And, of course, LaFleur deserves credit for finally putting this kid, definitely a good kid, in a position to succeed. So two of our favorites facing off here. Of course, there's the also wild card idea that Jordan Love might be out there, which is why I didn't get involved in this game. What are your thoughts here when the Vikings travel to take on the Green Bay Packers? You think they keep the good times rolling?
I'm going to address something right here that one of the guys who follow us on X, my guy DJ E Wall, I want to say, out of Philadelphia, he's a big Eagles fan, and I tweeted that if I started a new team right now, a new franchise, and I was the GM, I'd hire Matt LaFleur is my coach, and he asked me why. And you pretty much just broke it down right there. Malik Willis has failed in the NFL. We haven't seen the best of him until he got with Matt LaFleur. And what it is Matt LaFleur is a really good coach. And not only just in the X and O's, he has a really good way about himself of relating to the players and communicating with the players. You know, he's a cool dude, and the guys like playing for him. He's a really good communicator, much like Andy Reid. He's a good teacher. That's important with being a coach. And for him to be so young, you know, and he has some swag about him, so it's going to make players want to play for him. That's why Matt LaFleur is my choice as the best young coach in the NFL right now. And it's a lot of good ones. He can't wait to go against Brian Flores. He dropped 33 on him the last time he saw him. He knows that everyone's talking about the boogeyman and how Brian Flores is shutting down everyone. He's like, wait till I throw these three young receivers at you guys in these different formations. I got something for you. My whole handicap on this one is based on Jordan Love. I like the Packers if Jordan Love plays, especially first half. I like the Packers first half if he plays. I think that Sam Darnold turns the ball over a little bit. Packers have a really playmaking defense, especially on the backside. They got some really guys that are ball hawks back there, defensive back. They lead the league in interceptions, very aggressive team. Also, people don't know that the Packers are number one in rushing. You probably know that since your guy from the Raiders is over there now with the Packers and stuff that you didn't want to let go. So he's facing the number two rushing D in the Vikings. Vikings, man, have played a little bit over their head we know that they're being carried by great schemes by Kevin O'Connell and by Brian Flores. I think they come back to earth a little bit. Aaron Jones returns to Lambeau, so I expect Aaron Jones to get in the end zone. I think Aaron Jones scores a touchdown, so that'll be a definite play for me on this game, is the prop with Aaron Jones scoring a touchdown and trying to Lambeau leap back in the crowd to see if the fans show him some love or they push him out. Or maybe you can find some Vikings fans to jump in, you know, the stadium on. But I think Aaron Jones scores. But great challenge right here between just some gurus in football. It's going to be a great chess match between Matt LaFleur and Brian Flores, and I look forward to it.
All right. I want to jump in. And, guys, these aren't official plays. I just want to talk to you about some of these games. But five-star, I'm thinking of jumping back on the Saints train. I know they disappointed us last week against the Philadelphia Eagles, but I don't know if the Atlanta Falcons have the defensive line to get the pressure. They're really good against the run, but they have been poor in creating, winning on those passing downs. If Derek Carr gets time, he seems pretty good. Everybody's on the Falcons this week. Everybody's written off the Saints off that performance, think it's the same old Saints. However, I think the Saints do have the better defense. And I don't know. I just don't believe in this Falcons team yet. I know they were competitive against the Kansas City Chiefs, but everybody's competitive against the Chiefs, and they just win at the end of the game. I didn't necessarily upgrade them off that performance like everybody else did. And I think people are, you know, being a little too fantasy-minded when they're giving the Falcons the edge here. I kind of like the Saints here against the Falcons. What do you think about the Saints? Do you think they bounce back, or will it be another embarrassing performance?
No, I like the Saints as well. I'll be watching as a fan for this one of those situations with the Saints. They're my favorite team, as you know, in the whole NFL. I've been with them since a child. And every time I bet on them, the type of stuff that happened last week, the Eagles have, it's just...
Yeah, we don't need to bet on them. I was just curious about how you see it. Because
every time I bet on them, so I'm going to be watching with maybe a Saints cap on and a Texans T-shirt. But okay. I think that the Saints do get it done. They've been really successful in the Atlanta spread. And as I said, a Who Dat member, been a fan for so long. The biggest rivalry for the Saints forever has always been the Falcons. That's a big game, man, between those two teams. Both fan bases love to hit I-10 to 65 to 85 and go to that game. So I think that it'll be a lot of Saints in the building at the Mercedes. It's funny, they both got Mercedes Stadium. It's backed by Mercedes. I think they're both by Mercedes. But now it'll be a lot of Saints fans in Atlanta. Saints have had a lot of success in their building. They're 4-1 in the last five visits to Atlanta, 7-3 overall against Atlanta. Just a better team, in my opinion. You got Kirk Cousins back there, and we know how the Saints defense is. The Saints defense, they might hurt Cousins, I'm going to be honest, because he hasn't moved well. And as I told you before, the Saints have a vicious defensive culture, and it's been like that for a long time. They're not just trying to hit you. They're trying to hurt you. So Kirk Cousins better be careful this week. Banged up running back for Atlanta as well. He didn't look good last week. He was shut down. Do they go with Algier? But Algier missed the biggest block of the game last week. It kind of cost them the game as well. So I don't trust Raheem Morris right now. And Dennis Allen has a lot of confidence against the Atlanta Falcons. I think that they feel like they let a game get away last week against Philly, so they'll come in this one really fired up. So I'll probably lean with you toward the Saints. I won't play it because they're my team, but I could definitely see the Saints going into Atlanta and taking care of business.
All right. You talked about the Texans. Why are the Jaguars taking money? I don't get it. We watched the game. We also watched the market. I don't see why the Jaguars are taking money. I don't get this at all. I do not get this at all. What's going on in Houston?
You know, people feeling like the Jags can't be horrible forever. They're also going with the theory that after a team gets blown out in professional sports, they usually, you know, come back and play well the next game. In this situation, I think Jacksonville is mailed it in. I think either Doug Peterson is about to be fired midseason, or they're about to end up having to bench Lawrence, or they're going to announce something about he's injured or something and just go on and tank all the way out, because this team just isn't that good, man. And the Texans have had a lot of success against them. They're 8-2 in the last 10 matchups against them. Last year, Jacksonville won in Houston in a tight one, you know, around Thanksgiving, 24-21. But Texans dominated them in the first matchup in Jacksonville. I think this is a bounce back spot for CJ Stroud. That's more what I'll be looking for. I think the Texans do win. Is it any word if Mixon is for sure playing?
I don't think Mixon will play.
See, that's the problem.
And Dell might be out too, but I don't know. I don't think that moves the line.
It doesn't move the line, but
I think it is moving the line, but in my rankings, it doesn't. Not when you have three wide receivers like that.
Yeah, but you still got to run the ball, and I don't like Cam Akers as far as in my running back. You know, he's change of pace running back. Joe Mixon, as you see with the Bengals fall off, Joe Mixon is huge on offense. He's unheralded, bro, but he's the key to a successful offense because he's getting 5 yards a carry. He's a great threat in the passing game. He's a great blocker, and he's a great momentum guy. He's going to truck somebody, shake somebody, stiff arm somebody, get the team going. So Joe Mixon is huge. I hope he gets back pretty fast because they're going to miss him. But I like some props on this game. I think that Brian Thomas for Jacksonville goes over 3.5 receptions. I think that he has a decent game. He'll have a lot of family in from Louisiana and Houston for that game. And I also like C.J. Stroud over on his touchdown passes. I think we get a good showing. He was embarrassed last week. We haven't seen C.J. That confused, that upset, and since he's been in the NFL, honestly. You know, maybe going back to his freshman year, I remember vividly a game when they played Oregon in Ohio State at the Horseshoe when he didn't have a good game. It was like his second game of the year, first big top 25 game. That's the last time I've seen him play that bad. That's been 3 years or so because he was the quarterback for a whole another year, 2 years at Ohio State before coming to Houston. And he's always been composed. Brian Flores had him shaking his head sitting on the sidelines. And he was so ticked about it when they tried to talk about that game this weekend. The pressers, he was like, man, I don't even want to talk about that game. Let's just turn the page. So I think Stroud will be showing people why he's one of the more popular players in the NFL this week. I expect a really big game from C.J. Stroud. I think that he goes over 1.5 touchdowns passing and over 240 yards or 50, whatever it is, 57. I think it's 257 over on the passing yards as well. I expect him to air out Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville's in problems, and Peterson might be the first to go. Now he's the favorite for the first coach to be fired. Let's move to the people segment, 5-star, the ball and parlay. Let's give out the winners. What you got?
All right, we're going to give you guys a trifecta. If you was on the show Wednesday, you guys know we like to give out all the plays for Friday and Thursday games on a Wednesday, so you guys have plenty of time to get to the window or get to your app and put them in. But I gave out Virginia Tech. If you caught the plus 19.5, you're in a really good spot because now it's went down to 17. I just think that with the weather, the rain, and also with Virginia Tech's just dignity, I think that they're a respectable program, and they're going to be ready to play when they're facing Miami. Also, as I said on Wednesday's show, I did not like the arrogance of the Hurricanes last game against South Florida. I think that this is a game where they get hit in the mouth and realize that, hey, we're not going to just run through this schedule. So I'll definitely be on Virginia Tech. Once again, I got plus 19.5. If you can get up to plus 17.5, I think you should be good. My other play is going to be Maryland plus 7. I really like the Terps. I know Dave Cignetti came over from James Madison, brought some transfers, brought a really good receiver in Elijah Serrato over there with him. Got a good trigger man. You guys know if you watch the Waging World, I love the Rourke brothers. The older brother plays in the CFL, and Curtis transferred in from Ohio, dealt with some injuries, big tall 6'5", guy that can sling it all over the field. Indiana hasn't played anyone. Their toughest game this year was at UCLA. They blew out UCLA, as they should have. Now they're facing a Maryland team. Mike Locksley has this team playing well. They've been really underrated, a really good team the last couple of years. Billy Edwards, keep looking for that name. Billy Edwards is the quarterback for Maryland. Like 6'4", 6'5", kid, flying under the radar, but really a good player, man. He's 75% completion percentage right now. 8 touchdown passes, only 2 picks. He has a really good receiver over there in Ty Felton. Ty Felton is a game changer to play on Sundays. He'll be one of the top receivers took in the NFL draft. Roman Hembry, really versatile running back over there. 6'2 kid, in the old school back, like we used to see him, like Marcus Allen and those guys used to be in the OJ Simpsons of the world, RIP to Uncle OJ. of the world, those 6'2 guys that are real fluid and fast and strong. And so he's a really good back. And then they also have a guy, don't sleep on Jaden Prather. He's a really good player as well. I think that this is too many points. I know Indiana's playing well, but plus 7 is way to go on this one with the Terrapin. They've won 3 straight against the Indiana Hoosiers. So we'll be on Maryland plus 7. And lastly, we're going with the Bucks plus 2 in money line. I broke it down a little bit earlier why a lot of injuries on the Eagles side. I'm not a Sirianni fan, and Jalen Hurts has not done well against Ty Bowles' defense. So that's a trifecta from 5-star for the weekend.
All right, I'm going to go with my favorite coach, Mike Tomlin. I think that he's going to shut down and continue the struggles of Anthony Richardson as Richardson attempts to learn on the job. Tough spot there for Shane Steichen. Of course, he wants to develop young Richardson, and I'm not ready to write off Richardson for his career, but when we look at where he's at right now, he's nowhere near the level that he needs to be. Excellent highlights we're seeing from Richardson. Might be one of the strongest arms in the NFL right now. Apologies to Josh Allen, but Richardson might be able to get it a little bit farther. Also a great runner, very tough to take down, which is important in those third and short situations. However, he's really having struggles with the intermediate pass, and we know how important that is in the new NFL where the two high safeties rule, and you need to really be able to slice and dice these defenses by getting up those short to intermediate gains, and that's something that Richardson's not been able to do. And of course, Tomlin is going to be able to stop that. On the other side of the ball, I think that Justin Fields, because of his struggles in Chicago, has become one of the most underrated players in the NFL. We all know the talent that he has, but now that he's in the proper coaching system, he's able to do what it takes and needs to win. Unfortunately, I think in Chicago, they expect him to be the savior of the franchise, where in Pittsburgh, they just expect him to do his job, and he's been doing just that. This team is always going to be based on the strength of their run game and the strength of their defense, and then they're going to ask the quarterback to pick things up when they need to. But it's not a pass-first system, and I think that Fields is definitely built to be that type of quarterback. So we got the better coach, and we got the better quarterback. Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers laying it on the road against the Indianapolis Colts.
All right, so spread's going with Pittsburgh. And once again, I gave you guys Virginia Tech plus 19.5. I like it up to 17.5. I gave you Maryland plus 7 on the road against Indiana. And in the pros, I like the Buccaneers plus 2. And you heard what Spread likes. He's a Tomlin truther. We are on the waging world. We're going with the steel curtain. I just don't see how Anthony Richardson does anything against that defense. But we shall see. No Sino Royale today. Guys, we appreciate you for tuning in to the waging world. This is already episode 15 for the season. It flies by so fast. We're really enjoying it. We enjoy you guys tapping in. We appreciate everyone who's hitting that like button. The like buttons are getting up higher. We appreciate that. Let's get this show moving. Let's stay organic. Let's stay growing together. Let's stay learning together. Anything for the people spread before we get out of here?
Man, I'm excited for this weekend, and I can't wait to get back next week and break this all down with you, what we saw.
All right, let's cash out this weekend. I expect a really big weekend, guys. Let's get those tickets in. As usual, I always dedicate this show to the greatest Houston sports fan I know, and that's my father, John H. Lindsay. Astros, do it again for your dad. Another AL West title. For Spread Stair, this is 5-star in Vegas. It's us versus the machine. This is the Wagering World.